That was a message from the Loquillos party bus somewhere in Mexico. So that was a man who transformed into a car, and he transformed into the Loquillos party bus. Since I have also, if you listen to the last episode, about transforming into cars, so then our work will be heroic and brave, and we'll be heroes and all that stuff. Since I am also transformed into a car, 1984 Pinto, I'm able to translate the language of the party bus. So what it was saying was very troubling. It was very dark. It was filled with a lot of despair. And I just want to say, don't worry, party bus. There's plenty more. You know where you got that one. If you need someone to come, and I know it sounds, you know, weird, but to jump you, you'll have to get jumped, or at least a part of you. But yeah, let's go to the next message, from someone who has transformed into a car out there. Hey, look, party bus. I mean, I'm a friend here. I'm not, when I was talking about you getting jumped, I meant your battery, because I don't know if you want it to be public, but that's what you were telling me about, how your battery didn't work anymore, and you were asking me if there was some new kind of fluids you could try or something you can attach to your battery. But you're going to act like that, Loquillos party bus? All right, I see how it is, but I respect you as a fellow car, as a fellow man who transformed into a car. So I just hope you're feeling better, and I hope we all can party soon. Let's start this episode.
That's just how I feel. I don't need a pill. I'm just a weirdo. That's just how I feel. I don't need a pill. I'm just a weirdo. That's just how I feel. I don't need a pill. I'm just a weirdo. Sometimes it's great, motherfucker, sometimes it's panic. I don't need a thing, yo, I just need a beat. Being myself is a fucking priority.
Alright, thanks to those people who transformed in automobiles for leaving those messages. But now we're starting the normal version of the weirdo episode. So there were some questions in the Discord, which I'll answer now, or else I'll just talk about transforming into cars the whole rest of the time here. So Spooktergeist asked, talk about being unafraid of sincerity in your work. Many are afraid to be sincere, either in what they are trying to say in a work or sincere in the effort they put in. Well, I don't know, because... yeah, and I mean, that's right. When people are unsincere in their work, or they're afraid of being sincere, it's just fear. It's just you're afraid of the repercussions. You're afraid what people are going to think. You're afraid of what people are going to say. You're afraid. It's fear, right? So if there's a fear of being sincere in your work, that kind of, you know, I think... if you're wrestling with that, you have to like get to the core of yourself. Like, who are you, and what are you trying to say? And if you know who you are and what you want to say, and that's you being sincere in your work, then you should not be unafraid, because then that's who you are. And it's like, if the world doesn't accept you, who you are, or someone out there in the world, you never know. Then like, you know, why bother, I guess? But so I'm just saying, yeah, if you know who you are, and you know what you want to say, and you believe, or you know, that it comes from a higher place, not a lower place, you know, if it's like, well, I want to make porn animations where there's just butts that shoot poo out, and then the poo has sex with itself, and then germs come out, and then they infect babies, and they die horrible deaths, like, if it's something like that, like that you're just doing it for shock value or whatever to get attention, then, you know, people hesitate because they're like, fuck, I just want attention, but I don't know, can I do this? But it's like, if you know what you stand for and you know what you want to say and that's what you stand for, then you have to be sincere in your work and you have to say it, because then you're not being your unique self out in the world. And until you are your unique self out in the world, you don't know what the world has to offer you. It's like you're, you know, people get afraid. Well, I don't want to be sincere because I might hurt people's feelings, or people might get angry, or people might not like it, whatever. But it's just, you just got to go like, fuck people. Like, I'm going to be who I am no matter what, if no one, quote, accepts me. And I know I'm not harming people or things and being myself. Well, then fuck them. Then I'm just going to do shit on my own. And I mean, if you look around for examples, unless it's like, I mean, even like the weirdest, most evil shit, there's tons of people who are into that. So like, no matter what you're doing, there is going to be people out there that appreciate your sincere voice. So I'm all for sincerity, if it's what you really believe in. And, you know, when people are afraid to be sincere in what they want to say and how they do it, you know, their work ethic, it's the same thing. You know, like, if you're not sincere, if you don't go all out in working on things, then you have that escape hatch. It's like, well, I didn't even work that hard on it. But you're afraid that no one will pay attention. Someone will hate it. No one will care. I mean, you know, now on the internet, if you're an internet creator, the greatest fear should just be obscurity, that no one ever sees it. It shouldn't be like, well, people not like it. It's like, well, you're fucking lucky in the first place if anyone pays attention to it, one. So, I'm not saying go out to shock value to get attention. You know, there's some stuff you can do in the way you market things and present yourself. You know, I'm not creating porn. Like, porn's the easiest fucking way. Furry porn. That's not my path. But yeah, the insincerity, it just all comes from fear. Fear to have to realize your potential, to have to face what you can do and cannot do. You have to face the extent of your current skills and be okay with that. And you have to face, like, you know, putting yourself out there for people to judge. And I mean, the thing that always gets me, that I don't understand, where people are afraid to put themselves in their work and be sincere, it's like, unless your work is an animated depiction of you as your real self in real life, where it's like, I believe in this, everybody, like, it's your work, and in your work, usually there's characters. So like, those are your characters. It's not you. So I've said things in my films through my characters that was me, that I was probably afraid to say, like, in my life, but I said it through my characters. No one's ever going to know what's me and what's my characters, but it's your character. That's what it's for. So say whatever the fuck you want through your characters, because they're not you. So people can judge your characters. Well, whatever. They're just fucking made up entities. If you want, you can just change them or get rid of them or kill them, you know, have them commit suicide and make a new one. It's just a character. So if you're afraid of being sincere in your work through your characters, don't. That's what they're there for. I know things get all fucking weird, like have gotten weird recently, where it's like, you know, people are fucking held accountable just on the fucking social media sewer, like the retarded sewer of social media, where all these people are doing nothing, arguing themselves, posting all this shit. All they're doing is making more money for Mark Zuckerberg and the people who own the fucking networks, because, you know, your time, your clicks, your engagement equals money for them, and lost time and everything else for everyone else. But yeah, it's just, don't be scared. It's like with anything, it's like, I used to be really afraid of a lot of things. I don't sound like it now, but I was a really fucking fearful person. I was super anxious and just all second guessy and fucking trapped in my own head. Like when I was in college, I just remember being trapped in my own head and afraid to fucking do anything, to talk to anybody, to just like, And I found that way out through making little videos and skits and films. Forced me to be social. When I made live action films, I had to talk to the actors. I had to talk to everybody to make shit happen. Got me out of myself, getting lost in my own head and into the work and just focusing on the work, which then by doing that, I got these good social experiences through doing it with other people. And then that gave me confidence. And eventually over time, still took a long time, I was able to come out as myself and be comfortable and not be afraid, whatever. But everything's a work in progress. So yeah, I say sincerity all the way, and people are just afraid. And, you know, now it's like, with the retarded social media, fucking whatever the hell it is, like, it's not reality. I know I saw a documentary where it's like, to young people, the world of the internet and social media is more real than the real world. But I'm just here to say, you know, it's not the fucking real world. It's a fantasy world. It's made up. And everyone's pretending to be something they're not and portraying this and that. And then there's much ado about fucking nothing. Oh my God, the outrage. Did you see? No. Well, fuck, you need to post about it because, like, we need to do something. It's like doing something by retweeting and favoriting and arguing people on the internet. Like, what are you? Because, you know, you learn about the way the world really works. Everything has to do with fucking money. You want to change something? Pay for it. Fucking pay somebody off. Pay this, pay that. Get money. Until you have money, you don't have power. I mean, there's ways around that. Like, you can be super hackers that are fucking broke and, you know, hack somebody and then get some ransom and money. But it's just like, hey, you're complaining about your neighbors? Well, there's nothing you can do. You can just bitch about shit, like, forever and try to talk to their landlord and be like, hey, you need to stop. You know, but that just goes nowhere. It's all about money. Why don't you fucking raise enough money so you can talk to the landlord and then, like, pay the people's deposit? Just give the landlord that money. Hey, I'll pay you to get these people out. Like, shit like that. That's how shit really works. It's like, that's how governments work. That's how all this shit works. All these fucking groups, it's just money. So unless you're raising enough money to, like, pay shit off and buy things, I'm talking about where I live in the United States of America, it's all about money when you get to the root of the shit. It's not about what's right, what's wrong, what's good for people. Obviously, I've been around for a while and I'm not stupid, so you figure this shit out. But anyway, let's go to the next question. Thanks for that one, Spooktree guys. So Mankey asks, is it true you're going to make a movie again? What are your plans for it? So I'm professional weirdo podcast. If there might be people who don't know my colored past. But I used to make full-length animated movies pretty much by myself. I made 3 of them. So am I going to make a movie again? Yeah, I'm going to make a movie again. It's just about whether it's how much is me and how much is computer code, how much is algorithms. Because the space I'm moving into now, I have a side project prototype in this space that's not Nightmare Puppeteer, the project I'm working on. Actually, Nightmare Puppeteer was part of it. But a regular movie. So if I do a movie again, like a movie, like just, you know, something you play back and watch a video, something that's not interactive, I would do an open source movie. That's something that really excites me. I wanted to do that way back when in like 2010, but the technology wasn't there, but now it's totally there. So what really interests me and excites me, because I have 3 or 4 feature length scripts that I wrote for projects I never made. So I just have some scripts, which I can make any one of them. I'd be cool with it, you know. But one I wrote is like, it was supposed to be live action, like it's like an alien horror, sex, fear, terror, kind of, it would be close to like an old Cronenberg movie. Like, what's that one where the people get that venereal disease with that fucking parasite that kills them? I don't know. But it's like a sexual horror, blah, blah, blah movie. But it could be made with, like, fucking Make Human with, like, you know, technology that's readily available and rendered in Unity or created in Unity. So movies, yeah, I got a bunch of different ideas. I could make another movie, you know, on my own, but I would use Unity, whatever, as far as time, length, timeline. There would be, you know, some 80-minute, 2-hour movies, whatever. But the open source one, that's something that I'm really into because, you know, we'd have, like, a public repo. And I would put the script, you know, make the whole script public, make all the storyboards I draw public, make the whole thing open source all the way. So anyone can contribute in an open source fashion, but also as a learning resource as an example to the world as to how to make low budget open source animated feature films. That's not out there. So I want to put that template out there, that blueprint out there, so anybody else can learn from it and then make their own movies, like with other people on the internet. So that really interests me. As far as like the stories or stuff like that, like I said, any of the stuff I haven't done, I'd be happy to make it. You know, it's just fun making movies. Scar Moose asks, what's up for you? What's the difference between a normal professional and a professional weirdo? Now that's a good question. So really it just comes down to, like, you know, a lot of the time I spend he's making weird shit. Like, you know, fucking dolls with their heads twisted. I mean, just look at, if you look up Nightmare Puppeteer, look at my YouTube channel, see the kind of shit I'm doing. I make weird stuff, right? But again, I'm consistent. I'm professional. I've done it for money before. Not it. I meant movies, animation. So a normal professional, they're just too serious. They can't, like, they can't laugh at themselves. They can't make fun of themselves. The professional weirdo doesn't take anything seriously besides their work ethic and the standards of their work, studying their work, trying to get better at their craft. So, yeah, the difference between a normal professional is normal professionals don't have any fun either. It's not that fun. Professional weirdos, all they have is fun. Like, everything they're doing is fun because they're a weirdo, and weird stuff, like, makes them laugh or entertains them, and then they get to do that for their, quote, day job or for money or for whatever. So, yeah, that's the difference. Alsada 2KS says, I'm renting space off my boss to set up a personal studio. Right now, I'm mainly focused on music, but I want to get back into 2D art and 3D modeling again. Any tips on how to set up a physical workspace? Also, for context, I'm getting back into producing art and music after 7 months being busy, and I've forgotten a bunch of things, mainly how to use bits and pieces of software. Have you ever encountered this? How would you go about tackling it? So I'll answer the second part first. Yeah, I forget stuff all the time. Like, you know, I'm doing pixel art, 3D art, animation, modeling, fucking rigging, programming, sound, blah, 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 blah. And if I haven't done one of those for some time, I come back and I forget the most basic shit. And I have to go on Google and, like, Google it. Like, how do I fucking unwrap UVs? Like, what is this library I need to import into Unity to do this? So there's really no way to go about it. It's just, I think it's just kind of a natural thing because, like, you know, when you're engaged in something, it's like that kind of fills up your memory and your mind, and you're in that space and you're dealing with those tools and those terminologies. So it kind of, you know, fills up your memory, and then you switch back into the other one, and then you have to recall those things. So, yeah, I don't really have any, well, I guess I do have, like, printouts on my wall behind my monitor for useful things I need to remember. So, like, in Unity, in the game engine, there's, like, an order of operations that Unity's built-in methods use. And so when you're programming and doing it shit in the engine, like, you need to remember that order. So I have that tacked on a wall behind me. So I remember it, so I don't have that much space. But, yeah, I used to try to keep, like, keyboard shortcut sheets handy and stuff like that, but, you know, then you have to pull those out or try to display them. So there's just really no way around it. I think, you know, you just have to immerse yourself again. You'll remember. But about setting up a physical workspace, any tips? If you're dealing with computers, I'd just say to have monitors and enough monitors and or screen space, if possible, to do what you need to do without moving stuff. So it's like I use 3 monitors because I'm using Unity, and Unity has, like, a lot of windows. So then I could pretty much have all the windows I'm using during the day without having to open and close or move tabs or whatever. So I'd say for a physical workspace, Alsada, I think you said you were in, I don't think you were in the U.S., but something I discovered in the U.S., like, you hear about standing desks. And, you know, desks can go up and down. And I know my next desk is going to be a standing desk. But something I learned is that when you look at standing desks, like the official standing desk for computer work or whatever, they get into, like, several thousands of dollars, right? They're, like, really expensive. And I've been doing some remodeling stuff recently in the last year. So I've been going to Home Depot a lot, which in the U.S. is, like, a store where they sell all this construction stuff for building. And they had these workbenches by Husky is the brand. Husky. They make tools and things like that. And they had these Husky workbenches, which were, like, 6 feet wide. So what is that? 2 meters? No, less than 2 meters. I don't know the metric system since I'm a retard in America. But these workbenches were pretty much the same size as standing desks. And you could, they had a little wheel to turn, not a wheel, but like a handle, and you can turn it to make it go up or down. So it was essentially a standing desk, and it was like strong as fuck. So it's built for like, you know, hammering shit onto and working on. So it's really strong, and it was only $200. So like, if I was going to buy a standing desk, if you want to get one of those, I would go look at construction desks and like work desks, because they're not as expensive and they're probably better built. So that's one tip about physical workspace. If you're working on a computer, don't discount the comfort of your mouse pad. And like, if you have one of those little pads on it for your wrists, I've used the same type of mouse for like 12 years now. I keep buying the same mouse because I like it so much. So like, get a mouse that you like and stick with it forever, so you don't have to think about it. Same with a mouse pad, your keyboard. Like, if you're going to be doing any writing or whatever, I would make sure you get one that's comfortable and check those out. And, you know, if you're spending a bunch of time on it. For me, like, I have a space between my keyboard and my first monitor in front of me, so I could put my notebook, like my physical notebook and my pen. And right now I have it propped up by two camera lenses, so it's kind of leaning. So I like having a place to write notes, also physical notes, in front of my keyboard, so I can, you know, do that, draw things and take notes in front of my monitor. So let's see, physical workspace. So what you say you're going to do again? You're going to do music. Physical workspace. Well, you'll probably want to set up a little poor man's vocal booth or something. So if you look those up, what did I get recently? They sell these little tiny like isolation chamber. It's not really isolation chamber. It's just like a thing you attach to your mic stand. That's like a little foam housing that goes around the mic. I should have got one of those like years ago. It was only $200 for music. Let's see. Producing art. So I would say too, that if you can have two desks, so have a computer desk, of course, and then another desk just to draw on, so you can shift modes. You know, so you can be like, in front of the computer, I'm doing computer stuff. Now I'm on my other desk where I'm doing my art, my drawing, my whatever you want to do, writing. So like where I work, I have my computer desk right in front of me with my three monitors. And then I turn to my right in my chair and I have a little IKEA desk, like the smallest one they make, where I can draw and do other stuff. So, yeah, I like having little modal workspaces. Like, don't try to do everything at your computer desk. If you're using a computer, I try to do that before. Doesn't really work. Physical workspace. If you're doing music, you can get really caught in. Did you say we're gonna do music? Music. If you're doing music, you can really get caught into like buying all this fucking gear, like monitor speakers. But something that I kind of learned the hard way, but then as I've been reading more, about, I think they're called Grok boxes, but it's just the concept that like to monitor your music, you use like cheap ass shitty speakers because that's what most people are going to listen on, instead of like investing in really expensive active monitors or monitors, you know? So, look up Grok boxes. So if I was producing music today, I'd have, headphones to mix on, and then like Bluetooth speakers, like some decent Bluetooth speakers, which can save you a lot of money and room in your studio. I've had monitors, but it's like nice monitors, but it never sounds like your monitors unless it's someone else listening to your mix, like in their professional studio with their monitors. But I mean, those kind of monitors are really just for engineers selling to their clients. Like, look how good it sounds. Wow. But you know, if you're just really about mixing your music and trying to make it sound quote accurate to what people are going to listen to it on, I'd say save some money and some space and just use I think it's a Grok box, but yeah, it's just like using shitty speakers. Like in the '80s, they would use like little tiny boom boxes that were like $20, you know, just shitty speakers that, represent what people are probably going to listen on. A phone. I mean, yeah, play it out of an iPhone or whatever. That's what people do. Producing art and music. Dude, I've forgotten a bunch of things. Yeah, so I think I went over that. That's just natural. That happens to me all the time. But, you know, you stay in it and you pick it back up. So thank you for all the questions. What is this, 22 minutes? Yeah, thank you to Scar Muse for transforming into the Loquillos party bus and sending me, I mean, they were aggressive messages that you heard. I'm sorry if that offended anyone hearing those messages, if you do speak car. But yeah, I hope everyone out there, you know, since we're not special, since no one gives a shit about what we create, because we're not entered in the victimhood championship of the Western world. So what we're going to have to do is transform into cars, all right? Transform and roll out. That's what Optimus Prime used to say. yeah, so if you're transforming a car, you're thinking about it, leave me a message. If you're not sure what kind of car to transform into, I don't know much about cars at all. I'm not a car person. I've never had a car. I've never even had a driver's license for a car. I had a motorcycle one for a while, but then I thought that shit was too dangerous. So I just ride a bike and walk and take the train and fly. But yeah, leave me a message. If you're unsure about what kind of car to transform into, or maybe if you went through the transforming into a car procedure and you had some hardships, some problems, you know, maybe they put the muffler on your back of your head or some shit. I don't know. You can leave a message about that. I'll do my best. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know anything about cars. Except, you know, that I'm a 1980 Ford Pinto. So now I'm a genius and brave and heroic. All my work is. So yeah. So if you're having a hard time, you know, getting out there with your work, publicizing, whatever, try transforming into a car and let me know how it goes. I'll let you know how it goes here on this podcast. So thanks again for listening. I'm going back to work, finishing up. I'm working on the localization text for my current project, Nightmare Puppeteer, that a bunch of you cool people out there on the internet are helping me with. And I was just working on the credit page, putting everyone in, getting their credits. But I have to do some more debugging and start thinking about promotion. I've decided to pursue publishers with it first before I go my own way, just because there's so much shit that I don't even want to do. I have another game I'm working on, so I just want to move on. I don't want to have to spend months doing all that promotion and dealing with paperwork and all that shit. So anyway, thanks for listening, Professional Weirdo. Goodbye.